the Big Breakfast broadcast is the theory, the policy around crime fighting, looking at the organized crime, illicit economy, as well as crime intelligence. I now want to get an operational viewpoint. Lobo Das Neves is an international law enforcement expert, and as part of his reputation is that is built on 25 years in the South African Police Service. He also graduated from the FBI National Academy and now specializes in detective services and forensics. Lobo Das Neves joins me now. Lobo, we often talk about intelligence operatives. We often talk about intelligence networks in South Africa. But are these active undercover cops, like we see in the movies, out on the beat, interacting with known organized crime and underworld figures? Is that how it works in reality, or is it more a data-driven intelligence gathering operation?
Well, it's a combination of both. For many years of my career, that's exactly what I did. I infiltrated criminal organizations. I bought and sold drugs, bought firearms, AK-47s, explosives, radioactive materials, and so on. That's what it is actually like. Not as romantic as you would see in the movies, but that's in essence what we do.
Take us through some of those particularly those transactions. And many people would comment here on Cape Talk and they would say, oh, we see people buying and selling drugs. It's obviously a concern for communities. In the bigger scheme of things, is that of particular interest in the broader picture for police? Are they somehow inclined to let smaller fish go because our concentration is on the main players in this illicit economy?
I think that's a mistake that a lot of law enforcement agencies around the world do, is just to concentrate on the big players. Mm. Every aspect in the organigram of crime, they are all important to be addressed in the justice system. So whether you are a dealer, a user, a runner, a mule, every aspect should be addressed. And that was proven during the Broken Window investigations and project run by Rudy Giuliani in the New York areas. It was very successful because they didn't just concentrate on the big fish.
One would argue that focused particularly on small-time runners, dealers who aren't rich. They're poor and working class. They're not necessarily making the money, but it's your people living in your mansions, your suburbs, your leafy suburbs that are in fact making the big money. And that was somewhat what seems to have been proven by as a undue consequence of a broken window policy.
Well, yes and no. It was proven that the so-called leafy suburb dwellers, drug dealers, they cannot survive without the runners. Mm. Without the street dealers, they do not exist. So many times in difficult investigations I had, you know, some of these very intelligent organizations, you find it very difficult to penetrate. So what we do is we actually do it from the bottom up instead of doing it from the top down. And it works. You can, by taking his foundation away, you get him to come out because he wants money. So if he doesn't have runners, he'll start running himself, and that's how I catch him.
The 2019 Drug Master Plan, released by the Department of Social Development, broadly calls, and not immediately, but in a phased process that's not going to be immediate, calls for the ultimate decriminalization on the use of illicit drugs. They're saying that there should be a more social development approach to drug dependence, and that the focus should rather be on drug smuggling, rings, organized crime, and that takes away, and that will then let police concentrate more on the investigating of the organization than the actual user. As someone who's been, you know, within the bowels of illicit economies, within the bowels of drug dens and places where nefarious things happen, would you agree with this concept that's proposed?
I don't agree with it at all. You cannot tell people, you can't say to people, you're allowed to buy bread, and then tell the sellers you're not allowed to sell bread. Mm. It just doesn't make sense. You can't stop the sale of bread by telling buyers you can buy it and sellers you can't sell it.
Lobo, I'm quite fascinated of how police in Cape Town know that these are particular gang members, that these are particular members of organized crime. There may not be necessarily a case that will be ready to take to court, but they know these figures are, is enough in investment being made and operational manpower being made to use the resources of agents, of operatives, of data and evidence that is collected to start building up slowly these cases. And there's many underworld figures that we won't necessarily mention here, but are known to be involved in organized crime. Why are they seemingly allowed to operate with impunity?
I don't think it is always the case of criminals being allowed to operate. One must understand that the basis of the justice system in South Africa is for the government or the state to prove guilt beyond any reasonable doubt. Mm. To build a case from scratch takes a long time and is not always successful. I was involved in the investigation of a major drug syndicate. And just before we closed the matter against him, he got killed in a gang-related murder. Mm. And that went on our books as a loss. It wasn't a successful case because the man was never brought to book. So months upon months of investigation, undercover work, just went to no avail. So there are a lot of challenges that we have. You can't just enter someone's house and search it. There's a process that you need to follow, warrants, et cetera, et cetera. And to obtain a warrant is not as easy as just putting in a piece of paper and apply for it. You have to prove that there are basis for that application.
I've been watching a new series on the Mexican cartels, and there's a line in one of the operatives in that series that says there could be four police officers sitting around the table. This is in Juarez in Mexico. There could be four police officers sitting around the table, and they'll be working for five underground syndicates, cartels. There's been allegations within the South African Police Service, and this was highlighted in a memorandum by Charles Kinnear, that he believed that there were people within his organization, his colleagues, that were actively working, supported, paid for by underground and illicit syndicates. Is that the case in South Africa? Is it that rife that we have police seemingly playing both sides, one, to uphold the law and the constitution of South Africa, and at the same time, you know, aiding and abetting criminal syndicates?
Unfortunately, that's true. We have a whole host of criminals wearing police uniform. I don't call them corrupt police officers. They're criminals in a police uniform. And unfortunately, especially in latest history, we found that these criminals in uniform have reached high-ranking positions within the police. I think the police have started learning lessons. If we look at recent appointments within the police, people like General Kadwa, who was appointed a couple of months ago, a well-experienced, well-qualified person, and within weeks of his appointment, we start seeing major arrests happening in Gauteng.
Lobo Das Neves, he is an international law enforcement officer with tons of experience of the illicit economy, of organized crime, having worked within it undercover, giving us that operational point of view. It was fascinating hearing you.